The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
All right, welcome to the Savage Nation. Another depressing Friday. I wake up this morning, turn on the news, have the cup of coffee, and I say, I can't believe it. The Pope is demanding the redistribution of wealth yet again. Again, the Pope is demanding the redistribution of wealth to help curb the so-called economy of exclusion. The Pope, who was the first non-European Pope in 1,400 years, who came from the socialist-slash-Marxist era in his home country, is now lashing out at those of us who work for a living, telling us that he wants to redistribute our wealth. In other words, once again, he's talking about worldwide ethical mobilization. He's talking about solidarity with the poor in a new spirit of generosity. Well, I have a suggestion, Mr. Pope. I am offering $1 million right now, $1 million U.S. for the Sistine Chapel ceiling as the opening bid. Now, I'm sure that the Sultan of Brunei will top my bid. I'm sure that Soros will top my bid, and I'm sure that Geffen will top my bid. But to show you that I'm interested in redistributing the wealth, we should begin with the Vatican. And I think that the Sistine Chapel ceiling is a good place to begin, since I've always admired the work of the Sistine Chapel ceiling. I've always enjoyed Michelangelo's paintings and art books. I would love to own some artworks by Raphael, Botticelli, and, of course, Leonardo da Vinci's Mona Lisa. I can't get that. I certainly can't get my hands on da Vinci's Mona Lisa, but I could get the ceiling decoration in the Sistine Chapel for $1 million, couldn't I? I realize some may outbid me, but I've always wanted it. I'd rather have it in my own house. I don't have a house to fit it yet. And in fact, Mr. Pope, for that $1 million, for the Sistine Chapel ceiling, the reason I'm offering that money to the Pope and the Vatican is so they can redistribute the wealth that begins in the Vatican itself. Because after all, the poor are not doing well in the world, and someone has to help them. It's true, I pay 39.7% federal tax. I pay 13% state tax in California. I pay various local taxes. But that's not enough for the Pope or Obama or the other Marxists on the planet. So I think that we need to redistribute the wealth, starting where the wealth actually resides, which would be in the wealthy places. And I think that we need to start by opening the bid today at $1 million. I think that's a good start. I really do. Have you ever wondered how wealthy the Catholic Church really is? Well, there's actually an answer to that. See, the Vatican has billions in shares of the most powerful international corporations: Gulf Oil, Shell, General Motors, Bethlehem Steel, General Electric, you name it. There's also great real estate owned by the Catholic Church. And I say there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, the Vatican's vast treasures of gold, real estate, and art, probably worth billions of dollars, and I believe that these gold ingots alone could be sold out to the world and redistributed to the poor of the world. You realize the Pope is not above criticism. I mean, do you believe that I'm wrong for criticizing the Pope in his demands for redistributing wealth? All right. I mean, am I being sacrilegious here? Are we now have to shut our mouths? I mean, if we criticize socialists in government, why can't we criticize socialists in the church? We live in a free market society, don't we? Every day we bellyache about Obama's tax grabs and regulations and power madness and the fear of worldwide communism encroaching upon us. So why should we say that a religious personality is above it? I don't understand it. Now, many Catholics listening to the show are conflicted right now because their church has been taken over by a diehard income redistributionist, and you can call it anything you want. Is Karl Marx in a papal outfit? That's what it is. I know that you don't want to hear this and you find it offensive. I get it. But it's only one man's opinion. I have no power. After all, I don't have power lunches. I eat out of a paper box for lunch. I don't have power friends. My only friend is my dog. But it's one man's opinion looking at the world from my perspective. Something's very, very dangerous. Something dangerous is raging through the world. We criticize radical Islam on a regular basis, don't we? We talk about Boko Haram for months now. We talk about how violent they are towards Christians. We try to defend the poor innocent Christians around the world as best we can by talking about it. And then we wake up to find out that the Catholic Church itself is now going after those of us who actually work for a living, saying we're not paying enough in taxes. I think that's rather hypocritical. In fact, I know it's hypocritical. In fact, I think it's downright disgustingly embarrassing for the Pope to keep hammering this, because what he's trying to do here is stir up a worldwide revolution of the poor. I mean, I've seen all the rhetoric, and I see where it's led before. It's very dangerous indeed. And so, I mean, I ask you, do you think that I'm wrong in even talking about this? I mean, there are other topics. Do you believe the Pope is above criticism? If you are a practicing Catholic in New York, are you uncomfortable with the new Pope? I don't quite understand how you can sit idly by and listen to this. You know, if I've criticized religious fanaticism before, which I have done so, whether it be Muslim religious fanaticism, in the form, for example, in the flavor of the day is the Boko Haram in Nigeria, or the Al-Qaedaists, or whoever they may be. I've criticized Orthodox Judaism for the form of circumcision they practice. I don't want to repeat it because it got me in a lot of hot water, but I'll do it again if you want. You know, I'm not talking about circumcision in general. That's a generic topic. I'm talking about the practice of the practices practiced by religious Jews that disgust me, to be honest with you. Got me sick. I took a lot of heat for this. A lot of them don't talk to me anymore. A lot of them say, you're wrong. Well, it's not in the Bible what they do. It might make me ill. So now I say, wait a minute, I wake up now, the Catholics are doing it? Where does this leave me? I mean, like my body was full of aches and pains today, waking up with aches and pains. I tried prayer and that didn't work, so I went and got an aspirin. It seems to be working right now. I mean, that's where it's leading. You know what I'm saying to you? In other words, I said, hey, God, would you take away the aches and pains? And my feet are hurting me. My arms are hurting me. My neck is hurting me. It was damp last night. I slept with the door open on the bay. And I said, hey, could you take it away? Didn't work, so I tried a Bayer, a 3.25. Already I feel it affecting me 15 minutes later. It wasn't prayer that worked. That aspirin sure circulating pretty quickly. So maybe I'm going to become an ultimate cynic. I was talking with the young guys who run my show in Dallas on the Savage Nation this morning about God, that they believe in God. I won't give you their beliefs because that's for them to do. And they said, well, hey, Mike, Savage, why don't you tell us what... I said, well, when I was a little kid in the Bronx, in New York, I was afraid of God. And I think I know what God looked like. They said, really? How'd you see God? I said, well, I'm not Jimmy Carter. He didn't come to me in a white robe in my living room because I didn't drink. My mother didn't serve me strychnine soup, you know. We didn't drink little bottles of strychnine and do dances with snakes to see God. So what do you think God looked like? Well, I thought God, I really swear to God, there was a big telephone book in New York. And, you know, 6 million people, whatever it was. That phone book was big. I got to tell you, it was so big. And on the cover of that phone book was a weird figure that, I don't know who it was mythologically, maybe one of my listeners can help me. There was a character that was painted, a painting on the phone book, of like a character with snakes in his arms. I was so afraid of that phone book, I wouldn't even look up a number. I would not even look up a phone number for fear that I'd offend God, because I thought that the guy in the front of that phone book was God. I think my mother told me the myth. She said, if you don't drink your milk, God's going to punish you. And I said, who's God? She said, him, that one, that guy on the phone book. That's who God is. So I had an inordinate fear of telephone books as a child. No, and it did get me in trouble later on. I think God did punish me, I'll be honest with you. I remember to this day, later on, I was always an early riser. The family would sleep in till like 7 in the morning. I don't know, I was getting up at like 5:30. I was always an active kid. I would, like, stick my finger in electrical sockets by accident, almost electrocute myself, playing with electric trains. I was a mischievous child. And I remember putting the phone book on the floor, the linoleum floor in that Bronx apartment, to climb up to a shelf. I remember that to this day. Well, I couldn't reach the shelf. I don't even know what was in it. So I got out two glass milk bottles. In those days, they would deliver milk in bottles to our door. in every apartment how to have milk bottles. The milkman cometh. Well, I used the phone book, and then I put the milk bottles on top of the phone book like a smart little monkey to try to get up to that cabinet. And lo and behold, uh-oh, the milk bottles slipped on that surface of the phone book, and they broke all over. The milk spilled all over the kitchen floor. I was so frightened. Well, God didn't punish me, but my father did. He came in and he said, he didn't scream at me. Actually, he was a very reasonable man when things really went bad. And he said, okay, let's just clean it up. You can't cry over spilled milk. That's exactly what he said to me. But you see, that phone book did get even with me because I guess I didn't believe in the phone book enough, and I got punished in one way or another. And so I've turned it into somewhat of a parody. I understand that because I don't want to get too heavy on this. I started by saying I bid $1 million for the Sistine Chapel ceiling, which, of course, was meant in jest. You know it's worth much more. It's probably worth at least $2 million, right? Oh, yeah. It's worth at least $2 million bucks. I mean, the Michelangelo ceiling has got to be worth $2 million, right? Yeah, right. Yeah, $2.5 million. I mean, I always loved Botticelli's work. Or how about Raphael? Because it's in the Sistine Chapel. And think of what we could get for the poor that way. Yeah, we're living through world communism. It's rising everywhere you turn. And you want to hear something weird that came to me last night, ladies and gentlemen? I realized that the U.S. and the EU axis is defined by Russophobia. The United States and the emerging Soviet empire of the new European Union, which is sort of like a proto-Soviet empire, is now being defined by Russophobia. And it's odd to me that an ex-communist nation like Russia is standing up to the emerging Soviet empire of the New World Order, as exemplified by the United States and the EU. And I said, wouldn't it be odd if Russia winds up as the last bulwark against world communism? As the world turns, wouldn't it be odd if Vladimir Putin becomes a warrior against total domination by the New World Order? Isn't that an odd thought? And I realize it's bordering on blasphemy. And I think I should pause at this juncture because I don't want to offend more people than I already have. And again, I invite you to comment on any of these topics. There's not too many, maybe 100, maybe one. And the phone number is 855-400-7282. We got loads of calls. Most of them are about Catholics calling. Most of them are Catholics calling me about my comments on the Pope's calling for the redistribution of wealth. Yep. Now, remember this. I was the first in the media to talk about liberation theology, Marxism, and the Pope. And I'm glad to tell you that I'm glad that Russia's producers listen to the show and must copy my monologues down verbatim, because the very next day I heard it on the Limbaugh show. As they say, as they've said, it's nice to be Michael Savage. It's the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-407-282. And I swear to God, I swear to aspirin. The aspirin is working. Yes, I swear by aspirin that my aches and pains are diminishing, and I'll be right back.
Jesu Domine, dona eis requiem.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Dona eis requiem.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. So the Pope doubled down on liberation theology. I mean, he comes from a country that was steeped in liberation theology. And this is the third or fourth time he's talked about income redistribution. It's getting worrisome. And I don't know how any Catholic listening to the show wouldn't be worried about Marxism in whatever form it may appear. There was a long period in time when the Catholic Church opposed Marxism. In fact, it opposed Marxism until this Pope. Absolutely opposed it until this Pope, by the way. Opposed it until this Pope. And yet this Pope is now telling us he's a believer in liberation theology. And he said he'd like the Church to act as a spearhead for economic change in the world. He's against capitalism. He thinks that capitalism leads to social, political, and economic oppression of the poor. How does the Pope differ from the Occupy movement? He wants to punish the successful. This is Christianized Marxism. Now, I wonder how long it's going to be until the Vatican sends out a clarification on what the Pope really meant, that it was a bad translation. We got callers on this. I mean, if you're a Catholic and you, how do you feel about it? I made a sign of, like $1 million offer for the Sistine Chapel ceiling to wake you up. I mean, if Rush Limbaugh did it, it'll be on the Drudge Report in the next second. 50 sites that ignore Michael Savage would cover it, but you're lucky enough that you get it directly from the horse's mouth, so to speak. That's me, you know. How do you feel about that? I mean, $1 million offer is not bad. You know, it's probably worth a few billion dollars. But if I offer $1 million for the Sistine Chapel ceiling, oh, wait a minute. Hold it. We got a call coming in. It's from the internet. It's from Rome. Hello, this is the Savage Nation. Hey, shut your mouth about the gold and what do you think you are? No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you, Mr. Pope. You're not offending. I mean, just shut your mouth about the gold and the altar. Who do you think you are? You want the Knights of Templar to visit you? Just knock it off. You're only a talk show host. I'll develop this another time. I'll have to actually record it in the back rooms here. Thomas on WABC, are you offended by my parody of this income redistribution business?
Michael, you absolutely nailed it. Christianized Marxism. You know, Michael, leftism is pervasive. The tentacles are all over the world, including the Vatican. When the Holy Father speaks on faith and morals...
Are you a Catholic? Are you a practicing Catholic, Thomas?
Yes, I am, Michael. Yes. You call...
What's going on? Are the priests now doing what the Pope is saying? They do it on Sunday? Because I know when Obama speaks, the next minute the entire world, everything, talks about global warming, the next day Maxine Waters is an expert on meteorology. Al Sharpton is an expert on global warming.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. My mother told me don't talk about politics or religion. And God rest her soul, she was absolutely right. But today we're talking about politics and religion. Not politics or religion. Because the Pope has suddenly violated the separation of church and state, don't you think? What if it happened like love thy neighbor? Just like be nice to people. I mean, isn't that what religion's supposed to teach you? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now I wake up every day, another missive about I'm not giving enough money to the government to distribute to the poor. Oh boy. Is the direction of the Catholic Church causing you to rethink your beliefs in the Church? Do you feel the Catholic Church is losing its direction under this radical Pope? And why is it wrong for me to question any religious organization with legitimate questions? It seems the average person who could think out there with an IQ above 99 is now questioning authority at all levels, right? Would we agree on that? Let's forget my politics and yours. Let's forget my gender. Or my gender orientation. Can we agree on one thing, that all people who have a mind are now questioning authority? All authority, all doxies are being questioned, whether it be government doxies, right, or religious doxies. So now you wake up and you say that Pope says, income redistribution. Why can't I question that? Why is he saying this? It's not the first time. It's not an accident. I'm going to ask you what you think about that. But before I do, I want to go to a caller. I cannot believe this, what Robert got for me. A guy in Pennsylvania says that he knows the phone book character, who I thought was God. Jesse on line 3, really? You really? Who is the phone book character?
Well, the first deity that popped into mind was Asclepius from the Greek mythology. And Asclepius is associated with medicine and healing, and he generally used non-venomous snakes.
You know, I think that, but was he on the New York City phone book in my childhood, do you think? Because I'm going to do a Google on him, Asclepius.
Yeah, I'm not 100% certain that is who it was, but it was the first one that popped to mind.
No, but I can spell it, Asclepius. I can spell him, Show you how smart I am, Asclepius. Asclepius tuberosa or Asclepius speciosa?
Honestly, I've only ever heard him referred to as Asclepius. When I Googled him, I just typed Rod of Asclepius.
Because as a botanist, Asclepius are the milkweeds, by the way.
Really?
As a train, yeah, Asclepius is a genus of the milkweeds, and is a genus of herbaceous perennial dicotyledonous plants that contain over 140 known species. But I'm looking for the actual picture of Asclepius in Greek mythology. I assume he was Greek.
Yeah, he was Greek. There seems to be a little confusion as to whether he was a real person that they later deified.
Well, I thought he was God. I mean, I do remember he was. I think it was the medical god, because he did have like in snakes and. I was afraid of him, though. I got to tell you that. Okay, WABC Joe, you're next up. You agree with the Pope, I hear.
Absolutely. I think that the housing allocation of the funds, if someone buys a $1.2 million Bugatti, is one of the most expensive cars in the world. How's that money well spent? I mean, guys.
Wait, hold on. I don't understand what you're saying. You mean the man who owns the Bugatti is a criminal?
He's not a criminal, but the fun. If you go to Europe, you go to Canada, you go to Latin America, you go to Asia, they all have social safety nets. We don't have social safety nets, so we have to. The foundation.
Let me ask you something. How much of my income in percentage should I give the government to distribute to the poor? Right now I'm paying 39.7 federal and 13% state taxes. How high should it be?
Well, people pay, the middle class are paying too much taxes. The wealthy are paying much less taxes. I know that for a fact. I know wealthy, they pay significantly less taxes. They pay less than 20% sometimes.
Yeah, in other words, guys like Warren Buffett, who tell us we should pay more, is paying 15%. So in other words, Obama's principal donors like Spielberg, Katzenberg, Geffen, all those who had him over the other last night to talk about the Holocaust, you think they should pay more?
Of course, because if you have a dividend on the stock, you have received dividend income. Say it's 10 like a million.
All right, so but there's all sorts of tax rates in America. How about the 50% of people who pay no taxes?
Right. Actually, these people are off the grid. They are cash only.
No, I'm talking about the deadbeats in America who are sucking the federal government dry because they can. Food stamp recipients, do you think all of them are really starving?
Well, these deadbeaters actually are even though they're draining the.
How about the 13 million people who are on federal disability payments, costing us billions of dollars a year? Do you think all of them are really disabled?
New York State spends more than California on Medicaid, and California has a population of 38 million. New York's population of 19 million.
Okay, so, no, but I'm saying, what about the people claiming false disability? How about the 13 million people on disability? Should we look there for some of the billions that can be given to the poor?
Yeah, the federal government has no limit on it. They should say, okay, you sign up for Social Security.
All right, so what you're arguing is that the Pope is right in a way that some of the money should read this, but not from the middle class, is what you're saying.
Right, but because the wealthy should really participate more, and these people have limited money. I mean, New York, these people, they say, they're not saying
all right, wrong. Well, wait a minute. When the Pope says that he wants more generosity to help curb the economy of exclusion. What do you think he means by the economy of exclusion?
Well, people are the significant portions of the economy, like, for example, the South, they write the work states. They pay them significantly less. It's like a person who works in General Motors factory is in union, makes $100 an hour building a Cadillac. Someone working in a Nissan factory in Mississippi makes $10 an hour. So there's significant.
Yeah, but there's a reason that they built the factory in Tennessee is to avoid paying a union worker is $100 an hour because they can't make a profit on a car.
Right, but this happened a long time because there were people were these.
I don't think you understand what happens with unlimited taxation. It actually just destroys business. You know that, don't you?
Well, actually, in Italy, no one pays no one really pays taxes. They're not that strict on tax.
It's like saying Italy. Italy is a lawless state fundamentally. They get away with what they can because they know that the state is corrupt. All right, you made your point. At least he's a rational supporter of income redistribution. But what about you? This is not the only topic, by the way. WABC, Patrick, what do you feel about the Pope with his income redistribution idea?
Yes. Hey, Michael, I wanted to tell you about the Pope. He's complete phony. And, you know, you were making a little fun there. But, you know, I think he will send out his Knights of Malta with Dolan, Cardinal Dolan, the chubby man with the big clown face, come after you there in San Francisco. I'm just going to tell you, he is a complete fraud. The Catholic Church in the beginning tried to do the communistic philosophy. It didn't work. People wouldn't work, and they were stealing from the coffers. And even these great people, Peter and Paul, had to write letters and say, hey, listen, You got to get up and start doing something. You can't just all sit here and take money from the people that are working. It's right in the Bible. So these dumb people, these dumb Catholics that will follow that dumb person from Argentina right over the cliff as he takes...
What I don't understand is how do they make a bartender into a pope? How does that work?
Well, you just got to be open to anything except tradition and truth.
In other words, the thing to remember is that he's just a man, and like all men, he can be flawed. And in this case, I think his arguments have been tried before, and they are clearly flawed arguments. This discussion of income redistribution that the Pope is proffering was tried, let's say, by Marx, by Lenin, by Trotsky. It led to the death of 80 million people in the 20th century. So where do you think this income redistribution talk is going to lead the world?
It's going
to
end.
I know what he's doing. He's trying to unify the masses in South America and Africa. He's trying to get them to rise up against those who have. In other words, he's garnering the attention of the have-nots and turning them against the haves. In other words, he's trying to cover up some Vatican scandal with this talk, in my opinion. Am I wrong?
Oh, I definitely agree with you. I mean, you know, the Vatican is extremely corrupt. I mean, we know, you heard the stories about the, Illuminati and all that stuff and the banking and the theft of the P2 and all that stuff.
Well, I don't know much about it. I know Coppola touched on it in one of the Godfather sagas about the Vatican Bank. I don't understand any of that stuff. It's beyond my understanding, truthfully. But here's the thing. When you start hearing stuff like this, it only ends in very bad. It ends badly. It ends very badly for the world. And for a so-called holy man to start meddling in politics, which is what he's doing. Remember, this is not a religious sermon he gave. It's a political sermon. And we have a distinct separation of church and state in America. And if I start hearing that the whole Catholic Church is moving towards income redistribution conversations, I will tell you that that is very worrisome. And by the way, I know that Obama tries to cover up all of his failures by talking about global warming, which we know is a fraud. To me, this is the same kind of thing, is that whenever an institution is failing on its own, they start turning the subject. I'm very worried about this because you've got Hollande in France, you got Obama in Washington, you have the Pope in Rome. It's worldwide communism. It's worrisome, don't you think, Patrick?
No, it's very frightening. I spent 30 years in the military and, being sent to these wars that, in reality, it's money. It's money what's driving this. And this guy's got himself involved with the money. And Jesus said...
Something's wrong because this redistribution wealth crowd includes Americans like in the Occupy movement. And it's worrisome when the church now throws its weight behind the Occupy movement. This is papal-supported Marxism, and this economic struggle has mass appeal. That's what worries me. It has mass appeal. You know, people listening to the show should understand that the Catholic Church all but eradicated this ideology nearly 25 years ago under the great Pope, John Paul II. He was a wonderful Pope. And this liberation theology and income redistribution nonsense originated mainly in Latin American countries in the 60s and 70s. Now, while Pope Francis, originally from Argentina, never practiced liberation theology, he was certainly shaped by it. That's what worries me. So here we are. We wake up again. Every day, another assault upon us. Every day, another frightening missive against the middle class. Every day, another problem. All right, we've moved on. We've moved on. I think I made my point. It's now 45 minutes after the first hour. I've talked about this. You want to talk about it? Stay on the line. There's other topics. It is open mic to Mike Friday. Neil's going to play a little rock and roll for you right now on the Savage Nation in order to make certain that Religion Incorporated is not the only topic we're talking about. And by the way, we have a treat for you. We're searching for Lenny Bruce's great piece on Religion Incorporated. I don't know. Robert, have you found that yet? You got it? Oh, I can't wait to hear it again. When I first heard Religion Incorporated by Lenny Bruce in the 1960s, it was like a new world for me. It was the beginning of a new dawn. And don't think I'm bashing religion. I believe in a higher power. I really do. I mean, just because I joked that I used aspirin to kill my bodily pains, I mean, doesn't mean I've abandoned religion entirely. But I don't believe in black magic. I oppose Satanism. I oppose the occult. But it doesn't mean I have to support everything that a religious figure says. Do I? I'll be back. It's the Savage Nation. I was motivating over the hill. I saw Maybelline and a Coupe de Ville.
Christ and Moses both possessed humility. Why? Wisdom. That's it. Anybody who is secure, there's never any hostility, because he's cool. So they just stand on the back of St. Patrick's. And they'd listen, look around. Cardinal Spellman would be relating love and giving and forgiveness to the people, and Christ would be confused, because their route took them through Spanish Harlem. And he would wonder what 40 Puerto Ricans were doing living in one room. This guy had a ring on it, was worth $8,000.
And he would wonder, okay, that's... I'm sorry. They found the archive bit of Lenny Bruce. he was the leader of the pack. You know, he led the people in irreverence. I remember when I heard that I was a kid. It was so revolutionary. He did a whole thing on Religion Incorporated, which is what we were looking for. We just found this. But he's more or less saying the same thing, like hypocrisy. Long before hip-hop-cracy emerged, there was hypocrisy, plain old hypocrisy. Hypocrisy has led to hypocrisy, as you well know. And, of course, the aristocracy likes both hypocrisy and hypocrisy. But let's stop with the word games. This is serious business. The Pope doubled down on liberation theology, calling for the redistribution of wealth today. He said, listen to what he said. He didn't say you should give to the poor. That'd be one thing. Today, Friday, the Pope called for governments, emphasis on the G word, to redistribute wealth to the poor to help curb the so-called economy of exclusion. Francis made the appeal during a speech to UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon and the heads of major UN agencies who met in Rome this week. Now, you know the UN is a corrupt organization. Now, why would the Pope go to the UN and say that we need to redistribute wealth to the poor? What's the UN going to put in a UN world tax? That's what they like to do. They'd like to continue to milk, you know, as much as they can out of those who produce. Anyway, you get the picture? He wants a more equal form of economic progress by redistributing wealth. Now, this is not the first time. He did this before the World Economic Forum in January in his apostolic exhortation, The Joy of the Gospel. He denounced Reagan's trickle-down economic theories as unproven and naive. Now, of course, that provoked accusations by myself, Michael Savage, that he was a Marxist, picked up by the golfer the very next day. I don't say he was listening to the show because, you know, there's an issue there. But the producers listen. They probably get my show verbatim, transcribe it, transmute it, and give it to him the next day. Well, here we are again. I'd rather talk about this than any other topic because it's worrisome. If you want to talk about the redistribution of wealth, we can do it. Here's a related topic. This is also crazy. Decline of religious beliefs mean that the Catholic Church is looking for more exorcists. I swear to God. In order to compete with black magic, Satanism, and the occult, the Catholic Church is triangulating them. They're going to train 200 Roman Catholic priests from 30 countries in how to cast out evil from people who believe themselves to be enthralled to the devil. I'm not making this up. They're teaching priests how to throw out the devil through exorcism. This is amazing. I mean, it's going to get worse. Crazy, 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 crazy.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday, Neil, and we disappoint the people if we don't give them a little music. So give them At the Hop while I warm them up for hour number two of the Savage Nation, because if they hear the word Holder or Obama one more time, why, they're liable to think that I'm a conservative talk show host, and we can't have that. We can't have that. We don't want the truth to leak out. So Let's play At the Hop by Danny and the Juniors and continue our discussion of the Pope's demand for legitimate redistribution of wealth on the Savage Nation, because we're all worried about the direction that the Catholic Church is going in under the bartender, I mean the Pope. This is frightening, because he goes to the UN and he speaks to the corrupt UN heads in Rome and tells them he wants redistribution of wealth. I'm worried. I'm very, very worried about it. I wonder how Catholics feel. Neil, do we have At the Hop by Danny and the Junior? Not coming up, okay, as long as I'm coming up on the Savage Nation. And also we have a big, 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 big treat for you on the Savage Nation in this hour, as Ed Sullivan used to say, and that is more Lenny Bruce, because he was the father of stand-up comedy in our generation. Actually, there were a few around his time. Mort Saul was fantastic. I met Mort about a year ago, took him to dinner up here in Marin County, still going strong, 90 years old. He had a different style, but I grew up on these guys. I saw them live when I was a kid. I never forgot them, went into another field, went into science, went into consulting, tried to save the world, wound up in talk radio, here I am. At the end of the day, humor really still works. But when you compare the humor of Lenny Bruce to the filth merchants of today, you understand the difference between degenerate vermin who have no capacity for humor and just use dirty words as an excuse to get up in front of an audience and make an ass of themselves, and actual sarcasm. You'll understand why I'm becoming the number one talk show host in the world. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. We can talk about this topic if you'd like. I mean, it's a very important topic. WABC, John, how do you feel about the Pope's call for redistribution of wealth?
Hello?
Yeah, how do you feel about the Pope's redistribution of wealth?
Hi, brother Savage.
All right, thanks for the call. Next case. WABC, we'll try another New Yorker. Don, on line 5, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Doctor. I guess my concern here is twofold. When the Pope first came out and stated his Marxist beliefs, you know, we kind of blew it off. The left cheered, and the Vatican came out and stated that he was, you know, this was just off the cuff. But now he's come out and done it again. So I have to look at two things now. Is this the whole church? Is this just our Pope? And then he looks at the UN, who is going to be the arbiter of the actual administration of our wealth. Now, I have to question the fact that I don't trust the Pope. I don't trust the government to redistribute our wealth. I don't trust anybody. The only people that I really trust to really redistribute my wealth would be a taxpayer like yourself, who has went out and earned a living. So, you know, but
Don, they're already redistributing my wealth. I pay 39.7% federal. That's $4 after every 10 I earn goes to Obama to distribute to his cronies and the deadbeat bums on welfare and food stamps. And I'm sick of it. And then Jerry Brown rips me off at 13%, telling me he balanced the budget to give it to the illegal aliens in the unions.
There's 50% of it right now, about 48% of us that are paying the taxes that feed the world. But I wanted to ask you another question, Doctor.
The state in California is awash with deadbeat bums who suck the social welfare system dry, and they take it from me and call me the bad guy.
Every taxpayer is a bad guy nowadays, and we're the ones working in order to keep people fed on the welfare rolls.
Let me explain something to you. I'm of a certain age. I've been working since I'm 5 years old, one way or another. What would be the incentive for me to continue working if the taxes reached the point where I'm paying 70% of my income in taxes? I would stop working. Why would I want to work anymore?
Well, you're moral.
And so that's something you have to teach Jerry Brown and Barack Obama, who've never worked a day in their lives. All they've done is redistribute other people's wealth. You have to say to them, there's a point at which productive citizens will stop inventing things. They'll stop producing things. They'll stop talking. And they will just sit back and collect Social Security. They'll not work anymore. Don't you understand that? What part of it don't you understand?
They don't understand. And the problem is, if you look at the old Soviet Union, and I have to ask you this question, Doctor, and help me, just tell me if I'm right or wrong. If you look at the old Soviet Union, only about less than 10% of the actual card-carrying communist membership 10% of the actual communists were card-carrying communists. The rest of the Soviet Union suffered miserably, millions upon millions of deaths.
Now, that's correct. In other words, a very limited number of people called the elite the Politburo, the bureaucrats had the cars, they had the summer houses, they had the staffs, they had all the power. The rest of the people suffered. There was one salami hanging in a butcher shop because you have to understand how capitalism works. What's in it for a cattle farmer to raise cattle if the government is going to confiscate the cattle? Why should he kill himself in droughts and in storms and hurricanes or whatever? And why should he risk his capital to raise cows? So they stopped raising cattle. And the same goes all the way down the distribution line, all the way into the butcher store. Explain that to Barack Obama, who never worked a day in his life.
Hence, they'll never understand that, Doctor. But my question really is about the wealth in this world right now. Do you see the analogy that there's only that about less than 5% of the wealth in our world is probably controlled by very, very few? And that's the really the, you mentioned world Marxism before, and that's very scary to many of us, because if the United States goes under, where does the rest of the world go?
It goes to Russia. I also alluded to the fact that wouldn't it be, I hate to use the word again, ironic, if Vladimir Putin becomes our last link against the emerging new Soviet Union, the US-EU axis, and the UN is frankly the emerging Soviet Union of the world, and the only ones they seem to hate and fear is the Russians, in Putin, who is standing up to them on social levels, even on economic levels. It's Putin again. The United States and the EU axis and the UN, it seems to be defined by Russophobia.
And we're giving away our sovereign rights to a Marxist agenda, suddenly a Marxist government.
I hope my life doesn't conclude with me having to move back to Minsk, I mean, where my father, grandfather came from. I'm sometimes laying in bed and say, is it that crazy that as we become more and more socialist, more and more spying on people, more and more like the Eastern Europe that I dreaded when I was a kid, and they become even freer in Russia than we are here, and that in my last years on the planet, I have to flee to Russia for some degree of freedom in this world? Wouldn't that be something, I said. And, I mean, I leave it at that. I realize it's only crazy, crazy fantasy. But I'm telling you, the attacks in this country upon the working middle class are growing by leaps and bounds by the junk politicians that we have inherited. Harry Reid, junk politician. Junk politicians, they're like junk food. There's a difference between food and junk food. Harry Reid and the Democrats are by and large junk politicians. They're like eating Doritos. They're like living Doritos with eyes and pants. Harry Reid is like a Dorito with eyes and a hat. I mean, I could go on and you'll get mad at me, okay? You'll get angry if I say that Dianne Feinstein's like Skittles with a skirt. You'll get even angrier if I say that Charles Schumer is like a diet soda with big shoes. Yeah, okay, you get the picture. Yesterday, Eric Holder, who's becoming increasingly fascistic, mandated that states must enroll children of illegal aliens in their schools without looking at their either country of origin, how old they are. They can't even ask how old an illegal alien child is. So they could take a 10-year-old that they just smuggled into America and then put them into the first grade. Do you have any idea what this is doing to our schools? Do you understand why Holder and Obama are trying to wreck the greatest medical system the world has ever seen? Do you have any idea why Holder and Obama are trying to wreck the greatest educational system that once existed? What are we, number 75 or 38, whatever, in math and science? Why do you think that is? Do you think that our indigenous children are inherently stupid? It's because what percent of the resources of our schools is going to English as a second language? What percent of the school budgets are going to teaching children how to speak English? What percent of our school budgets are going to teaching them how to put a condom on a cucumber and other disgusting social activities that have nothing to do with survival in the real world? So I think I've made my point, and I didn't want to go here today. I wanted to stay on it, keep it on a kind of lighter note. Let me go to a few callers. Internet is calling from Ecuador. This is an odd one, because he heard me say that I offered $1 million in hour one as an opening bid for the Sistine Chapel ceiling, saying that I've always wanted a Raphael in my collection. I know I wouldn't get it, but I mean, it's a good start. $1 million for the Sistine Chapel ceiling would be a great investment. Probably worth $1 billion, $2 billion. God knows the art is priceless, but it's owned by the Vatican. I'm saying if you want to redistribute wealth, start with the Sistine Chapel ceiling. So I'll kick off the auction bid. Brian on line 8, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. I'm one of your new afternoon fans.
Okay, but it sounds like you're talking inside a submarine.
I'm calling you using Google Voice on the internet right now.
All right. And are you actually in Ecuador?
Yeah, I'm in Ecuador.
All right. So what's your opinion on the buying the chapel, the Sistine Chapel?
Yeah, I immediately started laughing, and it took me a couple minutes to stop, because you can't just sell the Sistine Chapel roof. You have to sell the entire Sistine Chapel, right?
All right, so I offered $1 million for the ceiling because I always wanted a Michelangelo. I'll tell you what, for another $500,000, I'll take the entire chapel. I'm an okay. opening offer of what? Okay, a $1.05 for the Sistine Chapel is the opening bid.
Okay, but Michael, that's where the popes are elected. And so by selling the building itself, they would have to find a new place to elect the next pope. And you know what? I'm deadly serious about this. I'm Catholic. And what the Pope is saying is Marxist, and Marxism is not Christian, okay?
Marxism. No, as a matter of fact, I need to remind my listeners that this is very serious business, and that the Catholic Church once rejected Marxism quite strongly, very strongly. And the reason they did is because the early Soviet Bolshevik Marxists killed priests, burnt churches, sold off the religious artwork. They understand Marxism is actually anti-Catholic. Marxism at its core is anti-religion. Anti-religion. So how do you have a pope now who's espousing the very antithesis of the religion that he's supposed to espouse?
He's espousing it to do it worldwide, Mark.
Mark. Well, my name is Michael, but okay, you can make a mistake like that. Don't confuse me with someone named Mark, please. That'd be the worst thing you could possibly do. Everyone I've ever known by the name of Mark was a pretty bad person. Thanks for the call. You can't have these conversations with an internet, Google internet, whatever. WMAL, Becky, you're up on the Savage Nation. Fire away, because we're running short of time on the Friday edition of the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
The Pope, and in the visions in Fatima, Mary said that Russia would spread her errors. And also, I think you're right, it's the working people.
Becky, I'm not following you. Please talk slow, more slowly. What did the Bible says what about taking from one to the other?
It's theft, whether it's an individual or government. And also in Fatima, the visions in Fatima, Mary said that Russia will spread her errors throughout the world, meaning communists. And yeah, we got somebody espousing it. And
are you, in plain English, are you a Catholic and are you worried about the Pope's inclinations towards this redistribution issue?
Yes, I am a Catholic.
Are you offended by Michael Savage, a non-Catholic, talking about the Pope's message in this manner? Do I offend you? I hope not.
Absolutely not. You hit it. You're hitting home run. You hit the...
All right, that's all. Knock him out of Yankee Stadium. It's 19, 20 minutes after the hour across the world. Here's an intelligence test for the students in America. If it is 20 minutes after the hour in San Francisco... No, I'll put it, if it's 1:18 p.m. in San Francisco, how many minutes after the hour is it in Moscow? I can guarantee you that 60% of Obama supporters couldn't answer that question. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Well, when you say goodbye, yes,
it is 25 minutes after the hour. It's Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. I'm going to try not to say the word Obama or Holder for the next 90 minutes. On the show, it's very difficult with the overreach of this government, but we're trying our best. So we're focusing instead on the Pope's income redistribution speech, which is the second or third time he's called for income redistribution. Yesterday we talked about Matzenberg, and Spielberg, and the outrage of ripping off the Holocaust, using the Holocaust for political gain, as I called it, using the epic tragedy of the Holocaust for personal or political gain. Was a travesty, I said, to give Obama the Humanitarian of the Year award. It was disgusting. Today we play the biggest hypocrite in the history of Hollywood, Sean Penn, goes on Al Jazeera. This punk is so desperate for attention this lying, filthy punk, Sean Penn, one of the wealthiest of Hollywood's brats, raised in a red diaper doper baby family by a commie father. He goes on Al Jazeera, and listen to what he says. Neil, clip 14 is the best. This is Sean Penn. Listen to this, supporting what's going on in Venezuela under this communist dictator. Listen.
The frustrations are real, but they are frustrations of an identity up against. We see it on an economic level with President Obama in the United States. How quickly we forget the devastated economy he inherited, the devastated credibility of his country he inherited.
You hear the deep voice? Yeah, he goes into an extra deep voice to show how sincere he really is. Listen to clip 12. This is Al Jazeera television now with the biggest hypocrite in the history of Hollywood on clip 12.
President Maduro inherited a lot of the growing pains that were left and the problems that came of a country largely forced into paranoia, largely forced into certain relationships that maybe are distasteful.
Oh, screw you, Sean. You're a disgrace. You know, Sean, with all your power and wealth, you're a disgrace to your family name. You'll be remembered like, who's that one who sat on the thing? What's that girl who went to Vietnam with the anti-aircraft gun, Jane Fonda? Sean Penn is Jane Fonda in a pair of pants. Sean Penn is Jane Fonda in a pair of aviator sunglasses.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. Hot Talk 5-6, Savage KSFO. Oh, The Great Pretender. The Great Pretender by the Platterers. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. The Great Pretenders. Louder, louder, louder. You know, we're living through a period of mass hysteria and mass insanity. When you have the Catholic Church, which once opposed Marxism, espousing Marxism, where you have a capitalist society electing a communist for the president, and the billionaires throw themselves at his feet. It's a case of mass hysteria on the order of Y2K. I've never seen anything like what's going on in my country right now. It's a case of mass hysteria. You have a president pushing the big lie of global warming. Remember 20 years ago or so it was the acid rain fear? All the northern forests would be decimated by acid rain. You remember the population bomb in the 60s by that fraud at Stanford? I think he's still living and he's still teaching, Paul Ehrlich. The population bomb, we'd all die by 1980, I think. Another case of mass hysteria that scared people to death. Now the mass hysteria is global warming. Now the mass hysteria is attack those who work as the rich. We're living in not dangerous times, but extremely dangerous times. And so I want to lighten it up a bit before you turn the dial. I want to go back to the father of stand-up comedy, Lenny Bruce, in a minute, with a little snippet from Religion Incorporated, which got him in a lot of trouble at that time. He was so ahead of the curve, but there's not a dirty word in it. There's no F words. Not a dirty word. People laughed because he was so smart. He was so sarcastic. Now, compare him, what passes for comedy today. One degenerate after another getting up and putting themselves down. One degenerate after another getting up and using one dirty word after another, and the idiots sit in the audience laughing like dirty words per se are funny. That's not humor. It's something else. But listen to Lenny Bruce in Religion Incorporated from 1959 on The Savage Nation.
Christ and Moses both possessed humility. Why? Wisdom, that's it. Anybody who is secure, there's never any hostility, because he's cool. So they just stand on the back of St. Patrick's. And they listen, look at him. Cardinal Spellman would be relating love and giving and forgiveness to the people, and Christ would be confused, because their route took them through Spanish Harlem. And he would wonder what 40 Puerto Ricans were doing living in one room. This guy had a ring on it, was worth $8,000. And he would wonder at the grandeur. See, why aren't the Puerto Ricans living here? It's clean and there's... What does it all mean? And what? And they'd just be shucking back and forth and talking. Then maybe Bishop Sheen would see them back there and run up to Spellman on the lectern. Psst, I want to talk to you for a minute. What is it? What is it? You'll never guess who's here. Who's here? You're going to... You're not going to believe me. You're going to think I've been drinking. All right, who's here? Christ and Moses. Are you putting me on now? I'm telling you they're here. Are you sure it's them? Well, I've just seen them in pictures, but I'm pretty sure it's them. Moses is a ringer for Charlton Heston, and I'm sure. Christ and Moses, both of you, the way in the back there. Did Christ bring the family? What's his mother's name? That's weird. I read the book today, too. I'm so nervous. Mary. Mary what? I don't know. Mary Hale? No. Mary Hale. Hale Mary? Harry Mary? No, I don't know what that looks like. All right, give me a direct line to Rome, quickly. Rome. All right. Hello. John Fran in New York. Listen, a couple of kids dropped in, and, you know them. One kid is, with a cross of bop. No, not Zorro. Damn, that's right. He brought a very attractive Jewish boy with him. They're in the back. Way in the back. Of course they're white. Yeah. I want you to know that. Yeah, that's dynamite. And we have 9 phony cops.
Okay, we've got to stop. I think that this is now a different tape. And we did dump those words. That it's a different piece of a different tape that was attached to. But he did a great thing, and at the time it was very controversial. I remember hearing it when I was a kid. And as I say, I come from an immigrant family. My father's original language was not English. Of course, he spoke English in the house. That's all he spoke. And he didn't like any of the music I liked. When I brought home jazz, 1950, whatever, I don't remember, mid-50s, I remember bringing home Nat Cannonball Adderley. He looked at me like I was crazy. He wanted to break the records and throw the hi-fi machine out the window. What are you listening to that junky music for? He said, I said, well, what music would you like me to listen to since you don't listen to any? That really got me far in that argument. And then when I played Lenny Bruce, it was shocking because he heard it and he liked it, which I thought was interesting. He said, hey, what is that? Let me listen to this guy. He really liked Lenny Bruce, which I didn't understand how he could, but he did. I guess he liked the sarcasm. Sarcasm is a universal language for people with a brain. Not to be confused with irony, something that they use on MSNBC. Every other statement is ironic, like the girls in a sorority sitting around doing their nails, saying it's ironic that we're doing our nails, making believe we're intellectuals. How ironic that anyone pays us $1 million a year to be the idiots that we are. I guess GE needs a front somehow. I know they sold NBC. I'm supposed to know that. I get it. Okay, here we are on the Savage Nation. I played a little of this. I played a little of that. Got the open mic to Mike on Friday. We played the biggest hypocrite in the history of American Hollywood. I guess there's only one Hollywood American. Sean Penn going to Venezuela and covering for him on Al Jazeera, no less. I mean, does it get any lower than this? Than a multimillionaire Marxist espousing Marxism and basically state-run terrorism under Maduro. It's state-run terrorism in Venezuela right now. The same exact policies, only worse, that Chavez was putting forward. Being put forward by Maduro, the middle class has been decimated in Venezuela by these Marxist communists. And here we have a rich man, Sean Penn, justifying state terrorism on Al Jazeera, the lying hypocrite that he is. And the only justification for it is that God is punishing him through his children. If you look at what his daughter is doing to herself, it's like Alec Baldwin. Every day she disgraces herself with another lewd photograph of herself on Instagram. I think that God punishes men like this through their children, mainly through their daughters. That's what I think they do, is they turn the daughters into something that is a mockery of a female altogether. And then the father himself will say, even I, as sick as I am, have to say, hey, cut it out. But no, they don't say cut it out. They don't say cut it out, because you see, the way Hollywood is today, a girl has no chance unless she's demented and sick. And the sicker they are, the higher they go. I mean, with reality television culling the lowest dregs of society, what would you do if you were a young child with no brains and when you were in the acting profession? You'd become as lewd as you possibly could. You'd put as many tattoos on as many parts of your body as you can, and you'd pretend that that passes for serious intellectuality, I guess. All right, let's move on. Russian aircraft carrier moved into the English Channel. Ho-hum. Ho-hum means nothing to you. The Russophobia that's raging through Obama and the EU is of no consequence to you. Yep, that's it. I'm finding myself listening to RU now, Russian television, Russian news. Seems more intelligent than any news I'm getting in America. Why is that? It's not like I want to like Russia, not that I want to listen to the Russian channel. They seem to be more objective than ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox News, and MSNBC put together. Why is that? Why? What is going on in the world that, well, Huxley told me what would happen. I personally met Huxley. I met him in 1951 in a furniture store in England. I'm joking. Because I was a young guy, I fell in love with Aldous Huxley's writings. You know him from Brave New World, that guy, right? Comes from a great family. Julian Huxley was a brilliant mind as well. Wonderful family, the Huxleys. So I was one of these guys that became obsessed with Aldous Huxley when I was 18, 17. I read everything he ever wrote. Every novel, every short story. I read his furniture articles in the architecture magazines in England. I went to the London museum to find manuscripts of his. I really became obsessive about his genius. But Huxley wrote in one of his writings that as the Soviet Union at that time and the United States become closer and closer together, the U.S. would start to look more like the Soviet Union, and the Soviet Union would start to be more like the United States. And I said, holy God, look at Obama. He's a little mini Marxist dictator. He's a proto-Marxist dictator. And so we are becoming increasingly like the Soviet Union, high taxation, regulation, overbearing centralized government, right? Spying on the ordinary citizen. That's what they did in the Soviet Union. The wealth accumulating in the hands of very few people who applaud the Politburo and the class of bureaucrats who give them special favors, dispensations, as it were, so they don't have to pay the same level of taxes that the middle working class does, right? And here, that's what's going on here. We're becoming more like the Soviet Union that once was. And Russia, despite the fact that it's still a totalitarian state to a great extent, has a greater free market economy than we do. You don't know that. The taxation level is lower in the Soviet Union, in Russia right now, than it is here in America. I don't know if you know that. You don't understand how dangerous this is. You don't understand how dangerous this is. So these are some of the topics that are, you know, moving around here on Rock and Roll Friday. I hope you've enjoyed it thus far. We have one offended caller from Florida, and I want to take her because if she's calling, there means that there's others who are offended by my comments on the Pope's Marxism. I'd like to hear why she's offended by my analysis, okay? Florida on WFTL. Mary, why are you offended by my analysis of the Pope's redistribution comments?
Well, I'm a lifelong Catholic. I'm older than you are, and I went to Catholic school from kindergarten until I graduated from college. And in my whole life, I never heard anything, not one syllable, that was negative about any other religion. And
Wait, hold on. You mean on this show you never heard me talk about radical Islam?
No, I'm talking about my education. I never heard anything that was negative about any religion, ever. Not a word.
Well, I didn't talk about the religion. I talked about the Pope and how he's using politics in his religion.
What I'm trying to explain to you is that his political views, he is from Argentina, which is, what would you call him, a left-wing South American country, right? And so that's where he came from, and he's human, and that's what he's used to. And I don't particularly like a lot of his views, but I find it kind of hurtful that you were spending so much time criticizing, which I feel is kind of anti-Catholic, you know. We're talking about his...
No, I don't know, and I don't accept that, because I don't think he's espousing Catholicism. He's espousing Marxism.
No, I hear him. Do you ever listen to EWTN, the Eternal Word Network, on television?
Well, hold it. Don't change the subject. I did not criticize Catholicism as a religion. I think it's a beautiful religion. I've said so on this program. I have defended Catholicism for 20 years on this show. That doesn't mean I have to defend a bartender who became pope and now espouses liberation theology, do I?
Yeah, okay. My husband's background, he just said, yeah, you're right. And it just...
Well, I don't know. Who am I talking to, you or your husband? I'm not attacking Catholicism.
To me, but we've been married for 52 and a half years, so...
Okay, but that doesn't justify the Pope saying that he should redistribute my wealth through the UN.
I think you're right. I think you're right about that.
All right, so you're not really mad at me. You're offended that I would say anything about the Pope, I think, because you're defending your own religion, but you don't know I'm not attacking your religion.
Okay, well, what it sounds like, because I've been listening to
you. Okay, I can get that, and I'm glad you called, because you gave me a chance to clear the air.
I'm glad to...
Thank you. I think the Catholic religion is a beautiful religion. Sometimes at night when I'm channel searching, there's a few channels that have religious services on it. One of them is a Catholic channel. It's a beautiful religion. Very nice rituals. I enjoy watching it. But when I wake up and I see the Pope again doubling down on liberation theology, saying that he believes in income redistribution through the UN, and he gave this speech to UN officials who are all Marxists. What are they? What is the United Nations but world government? So now he wants to say, what, there should be a world tax on top of state, federal, local taxes? Pope demands legitimate redistribution of wealth. That's what we're talking about. Well, I have a right to disagree with him. He did it at the UN. It's frightening to read this. It's the first time, though. Is it the second time? No. No, it's not. It's very dangerous, and I think all caring, intelligent Catholics have an obligation to analyze what their Pope is doing and what he's saying. Because before you know it, you're going to lose your church. You're going to lose your church, as sure as I'm sitting here, to the Occupy crowd who have taken over the Vatican through the Pope. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You should be very worried indeed. New York City, Marxist. Washington, D.C., Marxist. Rome, Marxist. So the Pope, again, I'll conclude the hour with this of why I think he did this today. The Pope, Pope Francis, calls for the redistribution of wealth during a speech to U.N. Secretary General and the heads of major U.N. agencies who met in Rome this week. Now, you have to ask, why all of a sudden is he doing it again? I found the answer. Here's my opinion why the Pope is calling for income redistribution today. Friday's audience came just days after the Holy See was battered in a second round of grilling by a U.N. committee over its record of handling priestly sex abuse. Neither the Pope nor Mr. Mancuban spoke of the issue. So, in other words, in exchange for not handling the sex abuse allegation, he throws the UN a bone and says, okay, let's get income redistribution going through you. And he wants the United Nations to promote a worldwide ethical mobilization of solidarity with the poor. And I'm quoting now. Pope says a more equal form of economic progress can be held through, quote, the legitimate redistribution of economic benefits by the state. That's what he tells the UN in response to their grilling him on priestly sex abuse. Now, you know, I've talked about the priestly sex abuse during its peak period, and I said there was only 3% of the Catholic priesthood that were molesting people. The rest were not. I defended the Catholic Church. I defended the priests. Get it clear where I'm coming from. It's the Savage Nation, another big hour right here on your local dial.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Devil or angel, I can't make up my mind.
Devil or angel, that's what we're talking about in The Savage Nation. The Pope has doubled down on liberation theology. People are accusing me of attacking the Catholic Church, which is the opposite of what I'm doing. I'm supporting the Catholic Church. I am supporting Catholic doctrine. I am questioning how they could have a Pope who espouses anti-Catholicism in the form of liberation theology, in plain English. Now, many of us question how Obama became president. Many of us argue that he was selected, not elected, and we give evidence for that. Of course, it's a lost cause. It's been quite a while now. Now you ask yourself, how did this man become Pope, the first non-European in 1,400 years? And the first thing you start hearing from him is the Marxism of his youth. So you think, why are Catholics putting up with this? Why don't they ask questions? Because religion teaches you to be docile. Religion teaches you to be unquestioning. Religion teaches you to accept authority. Religion teaches you that they speak to God in a special language and you don't understand it because you're just a dummy. Religion teaches you that they have access to God and you don't. Religion teaches you that they know the mumbo jumbo and you don't, which is why Latin was the official language of the church for centuries, because the average person didn't speak Latin and they thought that it was a holy language that related to God. That's why many Jews go into a synagogue and they hear Hebrew and they think that the guy who's wearing the yarmulke and the tallis is religious because he calls himself rabbi and he speaks a beautiful Hebrew. He may not be holy, he may not even be ordinary, maybe extraordinary. Or he could just be an ordinary guy who's also skilled in speaking Hebrew. But it doesn't mean he alone speaks to God. It means that you can speak to God. It means each man has a divinity within him. So you don't have to go jump from what I'm saying to becoming an atheist that believes in nothing. You can if you wish. Doesn't matter to me. You're the one who has to live with yourself. Everyone has their own way through life. It's a complicated universe that we live in, and everybody has to find their own way through it. I have in my own life, well, I don't want to bore you with what I've done. Maybe you're not interested in it. I don't know. All I know is that I have a Bible in my hand with about 150 post-its in it. Do I sit every night and read it? No. Do I read the Old Testament every night? No. Have I read the Old Testament? Yes. How long have I owned this book? 30 years. Why do I have 300 post-its in it? Because it was relevant to me at the time. Do I believe every word in the Bible is literal? No. Because if you believed that every word in the Bible was true, and if you read Leviticus, everybody listening to the show would have to be killed. Everybody has committed some sin according to Leviticus. You read it, it's crazy. Nakedness of a woman and a daughter, lewdness, carnally with a neighbor's wife, It's not just this, it's everything. Everything's no good. Look at your father when he has his underwear off, bingo, you're dead. So, in other words, you can't take the Bible literally, because if you do, then you have to start slaughtering everybody around you. Then you wind up, you may as well move to Syria. Well, not Syria, let's pick another country. You have to move to Pakistan, the western regions of Pakistan, where they practice a biblical reality in the form of the Quran. They believe every word is the word of Allah. And everybody, the Boko Haram, for example, will be an example of practitioners of a primitive Islam, where the sufficiency of the single book, the Quran, is all that's needed on earth. And so they slaughter men, women, and children. They burn villages to the ground. They rape people in the name of their God. They sell them into slavery in the name of their God. That's because they take their Bible literally. So we can't take our Bible literally either. We read it and we do what we want with it to try to make ourselves a better person. To me, since we're talking about the Pope's liberation theology, all religion should boil down to one statement. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. All Bibles, all religions should teach that. Buddhism, Hinduism, Rastafarianism, vegetarianism, liberalism. Any religion, any political philosophy should basically be the same thing. And I didn't so jokingly include liberalism because liberalism is a religion to Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid. It is their religion. It's their doxy. They're as blinded by their liberalism as are religious fanatics. Everything that they see in the world is seen through the lens of their liberalism. That's a form of insanity. That's why I wrote a book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, in 2005. Still one of the best books I've ever written. But my best book is coming in October, which is How to Stop the Coming Civil War. I'm still working on it. It's very hard to stop writing the book and send it to the publisher because what Obama is doing on a daily basis belies anyone's imagination. People can't believe this. Every day it gets worse. I told you it would. Yesterday he tells us that we have to enroll illegal aliens in schools without asking how old they are or where they're from. Violating all tenets of states' rights. Violating the law itself. The law of the land doesn't say that you put illegal aliens in school. It's illegal. They're not here legally. Who's going to pay for this? How do you balance that with children who want to learn reading, writing, mathematics, without having to listen to Spanish in the classroom? But don't tell that to the religious zealots in the Obama administration, because they're not going to listen to you, because they're blinded by their faith, the same way the Boko Haram is blinded by their faith. And so I'm trying to tell you that we're living in dangerous times where fanatics are running everything. Fanatics are running everything. And if the facts don't fit their theories, they will continue with their doxy anyway. Witness the global warming lie. The facts don't fit their theory, but they keep going with the doxy of global warming. And they keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. Because as Goebbels said, if you tell a big lie often enough, it becomes the truth. And so they all repeat it. So Obama talks about global warming, then the little people. Every little idiot in a country, in the media and elsewhere, suddenly global warming is the issue. Al Roker talks about lawnmowers on television, says, look at a lawnmower, cutting your lawn leads to global warming. Little man, the Lilliputians start to talk. Suddenly people who never went to seventh grade science are experts on climatology. And even the facts don't fit the theory, but they keep going with it. That's called religion. Liberalism is a mental disorder. That's their religion. They don't care about the facts. Their mind is made up. So I'm giving you an example of where religion leads us. I'm giving you an example of where statism leads us. Same thing. And the whole world is filled with this thinking right now. So I don't want to go on and on about it. There are other topics. To me, there's no bigger topic than the Pope doubling down on liberation theology. Now, for those of you who are confused, I have to set the record straight. I did this first and then Rush did it the next day. Don't twist reality. He got credit for it by getting blamed for it. He shouldn't have gotten blamed for it, but he did. Then, of course, he took credit for it as the way he is. That's the way he runs his show. He may not even know that his producers took it from me, but they did. And by the way, let me go a step further. By the Pope endorsing UN redistribution of wealth, he is now a politician. He is no longer a theologian. Do you understand he is violating the separation of church and state? He should stick to religious doctrine and stay away from politics. Because if he's a politician, then every right to criticize the bartender called Pope Francis. Don't tell me I can't criticize him because he's the Pope. What made him all of a sudden a man closer to God than I am? Why in the world do you think a Pope is closer to God than you are? What makes this ordinary man made of flesh, a mortal man, closer to God than any man on earth? Why should Catholics not question this? I don't understand this. The man is going out of his way. Out of his way, not only calling for voluntary action to relieve economic inequality. Today, he chose a meeting with officials of the United Nations to call for the legitimate redistribution of economic benefits by the state. What does that mean? He's sanctioning forced redistribution. And by doing this, he is now a politician. This is called forced redistribution of income. He has now exposed his church, which is one of the wealthiest institutions on the planet, to the charges of hypocrisy. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand why I am upset today? Do you understand why I opened my show tonight by saying I'm going to open the bid on the Sistine Chapel by offering $1 million U.S. for the Sistine Chapel ceiling, because I always wanted to own this art? I realized the Sultan of Brunei would outbid me. Soros would outbid me. David Geffen will outbid me. But I'll start with $1 million. It's worth probably, I don't know how many billions the Sistine Chapel ceiling is worth. It's priceless. But why not give it away? You want hypocrisy to end? Take the great art of the Vatican and give it away. Now people are going to start to say, wait a minute. Why shouldn't you start taxing the church? If he's now a politician, tax the church. The Catholic Church and their affiliated nonprofit organizations pay no income tax. They pay no real estate tax in the United States. They're exempt because they're a church. But now that he's suddenly shown himself to be a politician, I think that tax revenue for the church could be very useful. 17,000 plus parishes, plenty of them. 39.5% is what I pay federal. How much would that be? How about Pope Francis telling all Catholics to voluntarily turn over part of their vast revenue to the poor? And by the way, if you think I'm a heretic for saying that the church should pay taxes, Italy, which surrounds Vatican City, where the Pope lives, began taxing Catholic Church property last year as a way of helping to relieve its enormous economic problems. Did you hear what I just said? I'll say it again. Last year, Italy began taxing Catholic Church property as a way of helping to relieve its economic problems. And I said, sell off the artwork stored in the Vatican Museum and the churches throughout the world. I'll be the first bidder on the Sistine Chapel. $1 million on the table. So again, if Francis is going to get into economics, he's now moving into politics. If he's moving into politics, then we in the talk business have an obligation, never mind a right, we have an obligation to state what we think. I didn't have to use an F word to make my point. I didn't have to curse anybody. I didn't have to attack the religion to talk about a pope who's gone way out of bounds here. It's that simple. And that's what I've done today. So don't misinterpret what I'm doing, please. Paul on KSFO, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please, from San Francisco.
How you doing, Doc? Well, I'm a Catholic myself. I've lived here pretty much 20 years of my life. And when I found out this pope was going to be the pope, I really disagree with it because he was a Jesuit. He shouldn't have been a pope. His comments, I've been following his comments about economics. He knows nothing of it. And now he doubles down on distribution through...
Why do you think they picked a pope who was a Marxist to be the head of the Catholic Church? Remember, he's the first non-European in 1,400 years. There's a reason for this.
Well, I think it's for pretty much changing the theology, changing the thinking of most Catholics thinking. That's what I think.
You are absolutely right. You're absolutely right, and I'm glad you said it, not me. But I want to say one last thing. Not too long ago, when I first talked about the Pope doubling down on liberation theology, I pointed out that he at that time named 19 new cardinals, 16 of whom were considered cardinal electors or all under 80 years of age, and therefore they're eligible to elect the next pope after Francis either retires or expires. And why is that significant? Because these new cardinals that the Pope named are predominantly from very poor countries, including Nicaragua, Ivory Coast, Brazil, Argentina, South Korea, Chile, Burkina Faso, the Philippines, and Haiti. And that signaled another move by this pope to reduce the influence of wealth and money in the world and move it towards burn, baby, burn. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Tough subject, infidels. Listen to me. It's a tough subject here. When you have a pope moving into this political arena, and when the central theme of talk radio is politics, you have to expect people to talk about the political implications of the pope's statements. He's a powerful man. He influences 1 billion people on the planet. Why shouldn't we talk about where he's trying to move the sheep? You know, I mean, we talk about sheeple here in America who follow Obama. How about the sheeple in the church? How about the sheeple in the synagogues? Talk about the sheeple in the in other religions. I'm not Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. I'm not Isaiah. I'm not turning my back on God. I'm not trying to be an apostate here. I'm trying to be who I am. That's all. And I think that the Pope went into a new realm. Not for the first time. Not for the second time. But now this is the third time. We have to take him seriously. Now he's tripled down on liberation theology. Tripled. I don't know how Catholics who are intelligent, educated, people of working means would not take offense at a pope saying to the UN now that the state should redistribute the wealth. I don't know how you can't go to your church on Sunday and talk about this. I'm sure if you were the priest, you probably could mollify the audience, tell him he didn't really mean it. You know, they'll put out a statement tomorrow explaining what he really meant, that the translation was wrong, he didn't really say it. The microphone was broken. He didn't mean income redistribution. He meant something there. You know, they'll change it. You'll see. KSFO. We have so many great calls. Let's go to KCMO. Right in the heartland. KCMO. Brian, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. Hey, all the
All right. I'm sorry, Brian, but the screener should have checked out the quality of your call. We had to kill it. Sounded like it was inside a yellow submarine when he wasn't. Let's go to Denise on KSFO. Denise, welcome to the program.
Hi. You've always been a defender of the Catholic Church. Unfortunately, this pope is striking at the heart of church law. I think he needs to read Pope Leo's encyclical on capital and labor, which talks about redistribution and how it violates the commandments of thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not steal. He said neither justice nor the common good allows any individual to seize upon that which belongs to another under the futile and shallow pretext of equality. This whole encyclical is worth reading, and every Catholic who's serious about their faith needs to talk to their priests and everyone in the church, because this pope is teaching apostasy with redistribution.
God, Denise, you're so literate. I wish you and I could spend a few hours together. You must be a very deeply religious Catholic, I assume.
Very religious. Things of the Spirit are discerned of the Spirit. A lot of
Denise, I'm going to ask you something. I need my call screener to get your email address. I'd like to learn a little bit more from you, because you just told the truth. You told people I've defended the Catholic Church. Get that on the record. I demand it be on the record.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Pope, who was the first non-European Pope in 1,400 years, who came from the socialist-slash-Marxist era in his home country, is now lashing out at those of us who work for a living, telling us that he wants to redistribute our wealth. In other words, once again, he's talking about worldwide ethical mobilization. He's talking about solidarity with the poor in a new spirit of generosity. Have you ever wondered how wealthy the Catholic Church really is? Well, there's actually an answer to that. See, the Vatican has billions in shares in the most powerful international corporations. Gulf Oil, Shell, General Motors, Bethlehem Steel, General Electric, you name it. There's also great real estate owned by the Catholic Church. And I say there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, the Vatican's vast treasures of gold, real estate, and art, probably worth billions of dollars, and I believe that these gold ingots alone could be sold out to the world and redistributed to the poor of the world. You realize the Pope is not above criticism. I mean, do you believe that I'm wrong for criticizing the Pope in his demands for redistributing wealth? All right. I mean, am I being sacrilegious here? Are we now have to shut our mouths? I mean, if we criticize socialists in government, why can't we criticize socialists in the church? We live in a free market society, don't we? Every day we bellyache about Obama's tax grabs and regulations and power madness and the fear of worldwide communism encroaching upon us. So why should we say that a religious personality is above it? I don't understand it. Now, many Catholics listening to the show are conflicted right now because their church has been taken over by a diehard income redistributionist, and you can call it anything you want. Is Karl Marx in a papal outfit? That's what it is. I know that you don't want to hear this and you find it offensive. I get it. But it's only one man's opinion. I have no power. After all, I don't have power lunches. I eat out of a paper box for lunch. I don't have power friends. My only friend is my dog. But it's one man's opinion looking at the world from my perspective. Something's very, very dangerous. Something dangerous is raging through the world. We criticize radical Islam on a regular basis, don't we? We talk about Boko Haram for months now. We talk about how violent they are towards Christians. We try to defend the poor innocent Christians around the world as best we can by talking about it. And then we wake up to find out that the Catholic Church itself is now going after those of us who actually work for a living, saying we're not paying enough in taxes. I think that's rather hypocritical. In fact, I know it's hypocritical. In fact, I think it's downright disgustingly embarrassing for the Pope to keep hammering this, because what he's trying to do here is stir up a worldwide revolution of the poor. I mean, I've seen all the rhetoric, and I see where it's led before. It's very dangerous indeed. And so, I mean, I ask you, do you think that I'm wrong in even talking about this? I mean, there are other topics. Do you believe the Pope is above criticism? I started by saying I bid $1 million for the Sistine Chapel ceiling, which of course was meant in jest. You know it's worth much more. It's probably worth at least $2 million, right? Oh, yeah, it's worth at least $2 million. I mean, the Michelangelo ceiling has got to be worth $2 million, right? Yeah, right. Yeah, two and a half million. I mean, I always loved Botticelli's work. Or how about Raphael? Because it's in the Sistine Chapel. And think of what we could get for the poor that way. Yeah, we're living through world communism. It's rising everywhere you turn. And you want to hear something weird that came to me last night, ladies and gentlemen? I realized that the U.S. and the EU axis is defined by Russophobia. The United States and the emerging Soviet empire of the new European Union, which is sort of like a proto-Soviet empire, is now being defined by Russophobia. And it's odd to me that an ex-communist nation like Russia is standing up to the emerging Soviet empire of the New World Order, as exemplified by the United States and the EU. And I said, wouldn't it be odd if Russia winds up as the last bulwark against world communism? As the world turns, wouldn't it be odd if Vladimir Putin becomes a warrior against total domination by the New World Order? Isn't that an odd thought? And I realize it's bordering on blasphemy, and I think I should pause at this juncture because I don't want to offend more people than I already have. You know, if I've criticized religious fanaticism before, which I have done so, whether it be Muslim religious fanaticism in the form, for example, in the flavor of the day is the Boko Haram in Nigeria, or the Al-Qaedaists, whoever they may be, I've criticized Orthodox Judaism for the form of circumcision they practice. I took a lot of heat for this. A lot of them don't talk to me anymore. A lot of them say, you're wrong. Well, it's not in the Bible what they do. It might make me ill. So now I say, wait a minute, I wake up now, the Catholics are doing it? Where does this leave me? I mean, like my body was full of aches and pains today, waking up with aches and pains. I tried prayer, then that didn't work, so I went and got an aspirin. It seems to be working right now. Maybe that's where it's leading. You know what I'm saying to you? In other words, I said, hey, God, would you take away the aches and pains? And my feet are hurting me. My arms are hurting me. My neck is hurting me. It was damp last night. I slept with the door open on the bay. And I said, hey, could you take it away? Didn't work. So I tried a Bayer, a 3 1/4. Already I feel it affecting me 15 minutes later. It wasn't prayer that worked. That aspirin sure was circulating pretty quickly. So maybe I'm going to become an ultimate cynic. And I don't know how any Catholic listening to the show wouldn't be worried about Marxism in whatever form it may appear. There was a long period in time when the Catholic Church opposed Marxism. In fact, it opposed Marxism until this Pope. Absolutely opposed it until this Pope, by the way. Opposed it until this Pope. And yet this Pope is now telling us he's a believer in liberation theology. And he said he'd like the church to act as a spearhead for economic change in the world. He's against capitalism. He thinks that capitalism leads to social, political, and economic oppression of the poor. How does the Pope differ from the Occupy movement? He wants to punish the successful. This is Christianized Marxism. Now, I wonder how long it's going to be until the Vatican sends out a clarification on what the Pope really meant, that it was a bad translation. What if it happened to, like, love thy neighbor? Just, like, be nice to people. I mean, isn't that what religion's supposed to teach you? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now I wake up every day, another missive about I'm not giving enough money to the government to distribute to the poor. Oh, boy. Is the direction of the Catholic Church causing you to rethink your beliefs in the church? Do you feel the Catholic Church is losing its direction under this radical pope? And why is it wrong for me to question any religious organization with legitimate questions? It seems the average person who can think out there with an IQ above 99 is now questioning authority at all levels, right? Would we agree on that? Let's forget my politics and yours. Let's forget my gender or my gender orientation. Can we agree on one thing, that all people who have a mind are now questioning authority? All authority, all doxies are being questioned, whether it be government doxies, right, or religious doxies. So now you wake up and you say that Pope says, income redistribution. Why can't I question that? Why is he saying this? It's not the first time. It's not an accident. In other words, the thing to remember is that he's just a man, and like all men, he can be flawed. And in this case, I think his arguments have been tried before, and they are clearly flawed arguments. This discussion of income redistribution that the Pope is proffering was tried, let's say, by Marx, by Lenin, by Trotsky. It led to the death of 80 million people in the 20th century. So where do you think this income redistribution talk is going to lead the world? I know what he's doing. He's trying to unify the masses in South America and Africa. He's trying to get them to rise up against those who have. In other words, he's garnering the attention of the have-nots and turning them against the haves. In other words, he's trying to cover up some Vatican scandal with this talk, in my opinion. Am I wrong? Here's the thing. When you start hearing stuff like this, it only ends in very bad. It ends badly. It ends very badly for the world. And for a so-called holy man to start meddling in politics, which is what he's doing. Remember, this is not a religious sermon he gave. It's a political sermon. And we have a distinct separation of church and state in America. And if I start hearing that the whole Catholic Church is moving towards income redistribution conversations, I will tell you that that is very worrisome. And by the way, I know that Obama tries to cover up all of his failures by talking about global warming, which we know is a fraud. To me, this is the same kind of thing, is that whenever an institution is failing on its own, they start turning the subject. I'm very worried about this because you've got Hollande in France, you've got Obama in Washington, you have the Pope in Rome. It's worldwide communism. It's worrisome. And this economic struggle has mass appeal. That's what worries me. It has mass appeal. So here we are. We wake up again. Every day another assault upon us. Every day another frightening missive against the middle class. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the 9th of May, 2014, and this, I'm sorry to tell you, is the conclusion of the Savage Nation. As we move into the end of hour number three on the Savage Nation, and you get ready to turn your radio off and go on to do things that normal people do, I have to tell you that I've been at war for 20 years. I don't know if I can re-up forever. It's hard to be in combat every day, each and every day, especially when there's very few people fighting your battle. I've been on the front line since 1994 publicly. I'm feeling it. It's starting to weigh on me. We have worldwide communism emerging right before our eyes. You say, oh, come on, that's hysteria. No, it isn't. Every other word out of Obama's mouth is an attempt at either a power grab, a tax, a regulation, something insane along the lines of Karl Marx. Now we wake up and we see that, again, the Pope is showing his Marxist roots. He demands today, quote, the legitimate redistribution of wealth. I swear to God, I don't know how any Catholic listening to this who's worked all their lives cannot see that your church has been taken over by communists. There's no other way to mince words. Today, Friday, Pope Francis called for governments to redistribute wealth to the poor in a new spirit of generosity to help curb what he calls the economy of exclusion. Tell that to the 55% of us who work for a living, and tell that to the God knows what percent of America that sits on their fat behinds doing nothing but collecting wealth distributed by Obama and this illegitimate federal government. I am sick and tired of this. Just today, Francis called for the United Nations to promote a worldwide ethical mobilization of solidarity with the poor. This is right out of Karl Marx. You don't have to read this in the front page of the Daily News to understand what I'm telling you. Let me tell you something. Pope Francis was selected by the powers behind every government on this earth. He's the first non-European pope in 1,400 years. Why do you think they selected someone who was steeped in the Marxist rhetoric and the Marxist revolutionaryism of the country of his origin? He's a former bartender, by the way. Don't tell me he's saintly because they made him into a pope. I don't go for it. I'm sorry. You know, every day on this show, we talk about the excesses of radical Islam. Boko Haram, kidnapping girls, turning them into slaves, blowing up villages, torturing, maiming radical Islam. We know the dangers, don't we? Well, how about radical Catholicism? It seems to me that religion is becoming a danger to the world. Radical religions, wherever you turn, threatening the stability of mankind, not talking about peace, not talking about unity, not talking about people who kill themselves to make a living and through taxation and regulation give up most of their wealth to the poor already. No, instead we hear we're not giving enough. I'm warning you, ladies and gentlemen, you have to stand up in your churches this Sunday and say, don't include me in this Marxist rhetoric. I think the American Catholics have to understand that their church has been hijacked by a Marxist. Listen to me. He today called for the legitimate redistribution of wealth. I would say that they ought to begin with the Vatican Art. I think they ought to begin with the Vatican Bank. The Vatican Bank has billions of dollars, and the Vatican Art is probably worth trillions of dollars. And I think it's very noble of the Pope to help the poor. I think you ought to sell off some of the Rembrandts. Some of the great art of the Middle Ages would go a long way towards helping the poor. Don't you think, Mr. Pope, that that would do it? I will not give a dime to the UN. It gets worse. I told you we're at war. I told you I've been at war for 20 years and it's starting to weigh on me. Remember the standoff at that ranch a couple of weeks ago? Your FBI under Eric Holder, who's become a very dangerous man, is now turning in a new direction. The FBI has entered the case of the Bundy Ranch standoff, and they're investigating anyone who carried arms on that ranch land. That's right. The FBI have launched a formal investigation into weapons violations in that showdown. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Instead of investigating the thugs, the jackbooted fascist thugs in the Bureau of Land Management who should all be arrested for turning weapons on innocent Americans in a confrontation over land that was basically in dispute, instead they're turning the FBI loose on citizens who stood up for this rancher. You want more? I can't give you any more. Yesterday, Holder mandated that schools must enroll illegal alien children. Are you listening to me? Who's going to pay for this? What is it going to do to the educational system itself when you have children who don't speak the language thrown into a classroom? Where are the rights of Americans? How in the world can you understand this if you don't study it every day? Yesterday, John Kerry justified the Boko Haram massacres and rapes and enslavement, saying that it's poverty that causes their actions, when we all know it's a religious war against Christians. So I'm not in conclusion right now. Yesterday I talked about Hollywood using the Holocaust for political gain. Yesterday I talked about how the epic tragedy of the Holocaust was used for personal and political gain by Spielberg and company as a travesty. Yesterday I talked about commercializing the Holocaust. Today I talked about the Marxism of Catholicism. It's a war, ladies and gentlemen. It's not just left versus right, nor right versus left, nor gay versus straight, nor straight versus gay, or black versus white. It is communism versus freedom. And tell you who's winning? They are. The Pope calling for the legitimate redistribution of wealth is the leader of the assault on freedom today. There's a lot more to talk about. I know it's Friday. I know you don't want to talk about it or take this home with you. And you can hear me basically almost gasping for air. I'm not gasping for air. I'm gasping for an awakening amongst the American people. I'm dreaming of the day that the American people will wake up before they recognize that they're in chains. I want you to go to my website, yes I do, michaelsavage.com, and see what Michael Savage said about the Pope's Marxism before Rush Limbaugh ran with it. I guess he heard my monologue and his producers copied it verbatim, because the next day, the very next day, I heard the same words. Good for you, Rush. I'm glad your producers listened to the show. This is the Savage Nation. It's not all bad. It's worse than what I just told you. Infidels, give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. Good night and God bless America.